In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You might be aware that today is the last day of the Jewish Passover. And I would say that the Jews celebrate the Passover with a shadow of the reality that was to come, but it's really a shadow of a shadow because they no longer have a temple in which they can offer sacrifices. And so they are even a faint reflection of that which was pointing to the reality that we celebrate. We celebrate that reality today, and we will especially be celebrating that reality in a few weeks on the Sunday of Pascha. Pascha, by the way, is just the Greek word for Passover. So we celebrate Passover too. We just celebrate the real one. Why was there animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, you might ask? Well, St. Paul tells us that it's not possible that the blood of dumb animals could take away sins. And so the sacrificial system of the Old Testament was pointing to something that was a reality that would be able to take away sins. Because the problem that mankind has had since the fall of Adam and Eve is that we have a death warrant, and each and every one of us have a death warrant with our name on it. But St. Paul tells us that Christ in his cross took that death warrant and he tore it in pieces because he nailed it to the cross. When the Jews celebrated Passover, Moses in Exodus chapter 12 told them what they were to do. One thing he told them they were to do was to select a lamb 1 year old that was perfect without any flaw. And this lamb represented who? It represented Christ. And Christ was sinless and perfect. And he did everything that we were supposed to do. He lived the life that we could never live, and he paid the penalty that was due us and took away our sins through his death. And then it says in this chapter, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. Christ is the Lamb, we're told in the book of Revelation, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This was not plan B. This was something that God always intended. St. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And St. Peter, in his first epistle, says that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's the blood of Christ that is sprinkled, that is the cleansing that we receive in the new covenant. That's the reality. St. Paul says in Hebrews that Christ offered himself as a lamb without spot, and that his blood purges our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God. Hyssop was used in the Old Testament in ritual cleansing. And so this connects the sacrifice of Christ with the cleansing that we receive in baptism, as well as the cleansing we receive when we repent of our sins, as the prophet David says in Psalm 50, thou shalt sprinkle me with hyssop, and I shall be made clean. Thou shalt wash me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. Also, St. Jerome tells us that the blood that was marked on the door of the Israelites was in the form of a cross. And we mark our own doorposts with the blood of the Lamb, first of all, in the washing of baptism. As St. Paul says in his epistle to the Romans, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We also mark the doorpost of our hearts every time we make the sign of the cross. We're making the sign of the cross just as the Israelites did over their doors. And the sign of the cross is fearful to demons. Demons tremble when we make the sign of the cross with piety, not when we make the sign of the cross like we're strumming a banjo and we're doing it thoughtlessly, but when we do it with piety and when we do it seriously, this is a fearful thing to the demons. And so we're told, and we believe, that this is an act of defiance against the demons and the sign of victory that we can claim anytime we want to. And we also mark the doorpost of our hearts every time we partake of the blood of Christ, when we partake of the Eucharist through the doors of our lips. If we do these things with faith and love, we will be protected from the demons, and death will find no entry into the house of our souls. Death is robbed of its sting, and victory is forever taken from the grave. As we heard in the Kentuckian for this Sunday, no longer doth the flaming sword guard the gate of Eden, for a strange extinction hath come upon it, even the tree of the cross. The sting hath been taken from death, and the victory from Hades. And thou, my Savior, didst appear unto those in Hades, saying, enter ye again into paradise. Amen.